I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke. We're going to a familiar little passage. It took place here in the life of Christ on the earth when he was ministering before the crucifixion. In Luke chapter 18, we're going to take the last verses beginning in about verse 35 and read down a familiar story to the end of a chapter. Luke 18, verse 35. 18:35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto the Lord. Now I want us to take a thought from this morning, and we'll go to verse 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject this morning of being passed by. Now, none of us like that, do we? We'd rather be paid attention to, chosen. How many of you remember when you were in school and they were choosing up ball teams and sometime they passed over you and got the better player? Now, you wouldn't admit it, but didn't that happen? Sure it did. It really embarrassed me when they passed over me and started choosing girls. But anyway, now I'm joking some. But we know what I'm talking about, don't we? Being passed over in life is not a pleasant thing. Not really. I remember one time I lived close enough to school in the country, the little country school. I could walk about a quarter mile to it. But I'd see the bus pass the house, and it had all the big kids on it. I'm talking about big kids, sixth graders. Here I was in the third grade. And I finally talked mother into telling my uncle who drove the bus to stop and pick me up. I wanted to ride with the big kids. And I got out there that morning and I waited. Instead of walking to school, I waited in front of the house and the bus just shot right on by. Passed me by. I still feel the sting of that. I started to mention that when I preached my uncle's funeral. Now I'm playing around a little bit. But we all don't like to be passed up, do we? By the way, on a serious note, in the news this week, when those reporters were murdered right there on live camera, you know what that guy believed? He believed he'd been passed up. And he was a nut, but he didn't get the promotion he thought. He wasn't getting the limelight that he thought. And so he blew those two lives away and wounded another. Oh, by the way, it was the gun's fault. How stupid, silly this country has become. That gun just jumped in that man's hand and led him out. And no. If he hadn't had a gun, it might have been a machete. Amen. So, man, we're going stupid. We understand that. But his thing was he'd been passed over. He'd been passed by. That was his problem. And we look around today and see a lot of our problem in the country. A lot of things been passed up. Our Constitution's been passed up. And along with it, our freedoms are being passed up. And that's too bad, but it's true. We've lost our history. We let it pass us by. Amen. And so we're reaping and we're hurting from that. But all the things that we could mention, our morals gone bad. Planned Parenthood not only selling little limbs and livers and hearts out of babies, but did you see where they were actually taking their heads and selling them? That's amazing. Any candidate that's for that business don't deserve my vote. And folks who have a forerunner, leader in their party, they ought to change parties or change that leader one. Help yourself. That's politics. Well, help yourself. I get on it when I want to. The truth is, a big part of our problem in this country is we've passed Jesus up. Or, in a sense, we've let him pass by without recognizing him. Here he was moving from Jericho up the terrain, up the hills, as it were, to Jerusalem. And he comes through Jericho, and there's a crowd gathering, and there's a noise being made, and they're following him as he goes through here. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all of it, one man gets his attention. One man cries out. The blind man cries out. And he don't let Jesus pass by. He recognizes him. He believes on him. He knows what he can do. He calls him Lord. All of that, as we see it here in the story. Now, you know, the trouble today is so many are letting the Lord Jesus pass by. Ignoring him, if you please. Now, I want to pick three truths out of the story here and just deal with them as the time allows this morning. I'm talking about people letting the Lord Jesus pass by. Now, I want to say to begin with, if others had not come in the crowd, this blind man wouldn't have seen Jesus because he couldn't see. He had to hear the noise. He had to hear. He had to know something's going on, and he wanted to know what it was. He couldn't see, but he heard. And I want to say to church members, I want to say to Christians, you know, we ought to assemble ourselves together in God's church. There's a lot of people out there that are spiritually blind, but they can hear. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the whole thing is, there's a purpose to us gathering in this building this morning. There's a purpose to us singing, and there's a purpose to us preaching. We're trying to make a good noise to get somebody to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some other blind men, spiritually blind to say the least, that are sitting out there. And there's a good reason to make a good noise about Jesus. And if you listen close this morning, that's what we've been doing. Somebody says, well, I can go to church and I can sit. Maybe I can pray, but I can't do anything else. Well, let me say this. By your coming, you're showing whose side you're on. I think about the little man in the barber chair. And of course, he was in the barber shop with nobody but men and some pretty rough talking fellows in there, blaspheming the Lord with their cussing and stuff every now and then, and their dirty talk. And the little man in the chair, and the barber's cutting his hair, and finally he gets through and pulls the sheet off of him. And the little fellow stands up in the chair. He wasn't very tall, so he stood up in the chair. He starts singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." And that barber said, "Man, what's the matter with you?" He said, "Well, I've been hearing the rest of them testify about the Lord. I thought I'd tell who he really was. He's my Savior." I like his courage, don't you? Truth of the matter is, too many folks don't attract with the right kind of noise and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ like we should. Amen. But if others hadn't been in the crowd, this blind man wouldn't have heard. See, people are influenced by a crowd, good or bad. Our teens will go bad when they get with the wrong crowd, won't they? Sometimes they are the crowd, but the problem of the matter is a crowd can lead you right, they lead you wrong. But we all have a tendency to be influenced by others, no doubt about it. But let me say to you, as a believer, take every chance you can to speak a word for the Lord. Take every chance you can to openly confess Christ. Every chance you can to make a good noise, because somebody out there may be spiritually blind, but they may hear if you do it right. Amen? I think about that. I see folks, and rightfully so, come and move a letter from one church to another. I'm talking about saved people. I see folks that want to come down the aisle, but listen to me. Don't ever be ashamed to come down the aisle for whatever God has directed you, moving a church membership, rededicating your life, or asking for prayer. Don't ever be ashamed because the crowd is big. There may be somebody in that crowd you influence. somebody in that crowd that sees you confess the Lord, that you're not ashamed of the Lord, that every chance we get. That's why when you get saved, you ought to get baptized. You ought to attend church. You ought to let folks see, because you want a crowd that points to Jesus in the right way, so somebody else will be influenced the right way. Amen. Openly confess Christ when you can. That's important. I see another truth right here. That is that Jesus only passed this way a few times. Now he's coming up through Jericho. Some of you have been to the Holy Land. You've been there. You know it's uphill all the way from there as you climb back to Mount Zion. That's where Jerusalem is. It's up on Mount Zion. And so he's coming back through it. But as he comes through here in Jericho, and before he gets totally away, he's going to reach another man by the name of Zacchaeus, remember? What's happening? They're seeing a commotion. They're hearing a crowd. They're knowing something's going on. And the blind man especially heard and inquired, what's going on? And they said, well, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And so he cried out. But the Lord only passed that way a few times. You know, I wonder in that crowd on that street, whatever it might have been, if I'd have been there that day, I wonder how many missed Christ as he passed by. Do you know what's sad? Sometimes folks are in a crowd around Christ, but they still miss him. Let me just be real honest. There's a pile of folks in church today. There's a pile of folks in many churches today and have been going for a long time, and they still miss Christ. That's sad, isn't it? But it's true. I think about that a lot of times. Different ways. You know, there's people that'll go to a gospel sing. Thank God for good singing. But some of them don't know the Lord Jesus. They enjoy the singing. There's people, we had a big crowd gathered in here yesterday as a memorial for Brother David Lawson, and he had a lot of friends, and I'd like to think every one of them knew Jesus. Some of them knew about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. And there's a lot of people in a lot of crowds that know about him. They hear about him on the radio. They hear about him on TV. They hear about him in church. Maybe hearing right things. But they never, ever meet him personally like the blind man did. Never meet him personally. Isn't that a shame? It is. But it's the fallen nature of man that we hear and not apply, not appropriate to ourselves. Too many times that is the case. We see it often. They hear and they even see. The blind man couldn't see, but many can, and yet they miss and let the Lord pass right on by. That's too bad. It's true, though. They don't make it personal. They don't make it personal. I still remember so well. Went to church a few times with my girlfriend who became my wife. And I had never truly heard the gospel to understand anything about it till then. I didn't really know, but I kept listening and hearing, and the Lord got a hold of my heart. And then one night, sitting back there, side of my girlfriend, and the preacher gave the invitation. It was very short that night. And he called on somebody to dismiss in prayer. And he walked back to the door to shake hands like I've been doing for many years now. And when he walked into the door, somebody was praying. I just stepped out of the pew and followed him. I forgot about being macho in front of my girlfriend. I forgot about being ashamed in front of the crowd. The Lord had spoken to my heart. When the preacher looked up at the door, I was standing right in front of him. I beat everybody else. Nobody else was there. I was the first one standing right in front of him. And when he looked up at me, he said yes or something to that effect. And I said, I just wanted you to know I believed what you preached tonight. Now, I didn't know how to express myself. I was not a church boy. I had not been raised in church. I didn't know the language. But I said that. You know what he said to me? He said, young man, and yes, I used to be one. Young man, are you trying to tell me you want Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I said, yes, that's it. You know what? I'd heard about him. I'd heard others talk. I'd heard the church sing. But I'd never met him personally. And I fear there's a lot of people like that today. They didn't talk the singing. They didn't talk the talk. They've heard about him. If you ask them, who is Jesus, they might tell you pretty accurately, but they never, ever received him personally for themselves. And there's a big difference, folks. Now, that whole crowd in Jericho making a lot of noise. Jesus is passing through. We've heard about him, the miracles he's done. We've heard about him, but one man made it real personal in the story. He cried out and called him Lord. He told him what his need was, and Jesus met that need. It was a personal thing. And I want to challenge you today, be so sure that it's not just arm's distance. It's not just looking at Jesus through a glass window, but he's real to you. It's personal to you. He's met your need like he met the blind man's, that you know it. Not your church membership, not some ceremony that you've gone through, not because somebody put your name on the church roll somewhere, but is it personal that you do know the Lord Jesus Christ in his saving power, and he has caused you to see spiritually, whereas before you didn't see, you were blind. You're blind. I think about that. He passed by a few times. Everybody didn't call on him, but one did. One did. You know, that's the reason here at our church we try so hard to get you to consider yourself personally before the Lord. That's important. You know, we have folks visit with us, especially in the wintertime. They come from churches up north, some good and some not so good. And you say, how you know? Because people tell me. But you know what's possible? It's possible to grow up in a church and hear a lot of superficial things about Jesus and still not know him. And from time to time, and I've done it, I've seen it through my ministry for so many years, I have asked somebody, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? And they don't, because they've never been saved. Jesus is not personal to them. He's almost a historical figure like George Washington or something. They know about him, but they don't really know him personally. And that is really, really sad, but it's the truth. And that makes my job as a preacher. It makes the church's job. We've got to get that thing down to where we say, do you know personally? Not mama got saved or daddy got saved or daddy was a deacon or something. No. How about you? Personally, do you know Jesus Christ and his saving power? Personally, you know, I see this so much. Just a head knowledge. Nothing real in the heart, just a head knowledge. That's why when I ask the hard question sometime, if you stood at the gate of heaven, and the angel said, why should I let you into God's heaven? What would you say? I've had people, when I ask them that question, tell me the church they belong to. Tell me when they got dedicated or sprinkled as a baby, or when they got baptized, or what kind of life they've lived, or how good mama was. None of that's going to get you into heaven. You got to know Jesus Christ on a personal, real basis as your Savior. And it's brought down that all, when I told the preacher, I believe what you preach, all of a sudden he zeroed in and said, well, how about you personally? You've heard it, sounds good, but how about you personally? And I say to you this morning, how about you personally? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I see something else. He only passed a few times. Then I also see he never passed this way again. He had been through Jericho, I think, a couple of times, but never again after this. He's going on up to Jerusalem. He's not coming back. That blind man would not have been one to travel much in his blindness. He'd had to have somebody lead him by the hand. I don't know that that blind man knew when they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed away. I doubt he knew that was the last time that he'd ever have a chance. But it was. But it was. Now, thank God he took the chance. You know, there's people maybe sitting here today, maybe in radio land where they're listening. You may not know it's your last chance, but it well could be. Well could be. I've been pastoring a long time. I remember in my very earliest beginning of pastoring country church, I remember the first funeral I ever preached. And yes, young men, I was scared. First funeral. But what I remember about it was I preached on Sunday morning, and I saw a man sitting on the right back, almost the last pew to my right, in the back. Now, the building wasn't big. There might have been a total of 100 people there, maybe. Maybe. And he was sitting there. And I preached, and I do not remember if anybody got saved that morning or not. I don't remember. But I do remember this. The next day, a Monday, before the day was over, I got a call from a family member of the man I'm talking about that I saw for the first time sitting back there. And he was dead. He was a healthy working guy. In fact, he was working with a construction crew. And they all took their lunch break, and they all got their lunch buckets out, and they all went and sat down somewhere in their conversation to eat lunch together like they'd done day in and day out. And right there in front of all of his friends, he hardly took a bite, and he dropped dead with a heart attack. Now, I had his funeral. That's the first funeral I'd ever preached. And the question was, had he let Jesus pass him by? Did he know it was the last time he was going to have a chance? Did he know it was the last time he was going to hear that Jesus loved him and died for his sins on the cross? I doubt that man knew that. I really doubt that he did. He thought he was in pretty good health. His mother was still alive. His wife. Everybody thought he was in pretty good health, but God called him like that. I don't know that the blind man even thought, maybe this is my last chance. He saw it as a chance. And he called out to the Lord. He cried out. You know what I like about the text? It said Jesus stood. He stopped. He stopped walking. There was a whole crowd around him. No telling what all of them might have been talking about or what they might have been saying. But when this guy cried, the Lord knew something's real here. This guy's saying who I am. This guy needs me. This guy believes on me. This guy is not ashamed of me. And he stood. He stopped. In a sense, he stood still and he sent for the man. See, the man in his blindness would have had a hard time coming to Jesus. But Jesus sent him some help, and they brought him up. And if you read the text close, you'll find out there where the Lord said to him, "Thy faith hath saved thee." A little more than got your sight back. Saved thee. More than he asked for, he received. And I've seen through the years Jesus give more than somebody asked of him. And I've seen him meet folks that cried out to him no matter how dire their circumstances was, no matter what mess they were in, he could get where they were and he could come have them brought to him. And hey, he's still the same Jesus today. He's still passing by today. There's folks still crying out to him today, and there's folk like the big crowd that just lets him pass by. They don't know it may be their last chance. They don't care enough. They're not interested enough. And just like we see the world today ignoring Jesus and reaping the consequences of it, there's individuals that are ignoring him, and they're going to reap the same consequences. He never passed that way again. This blind man didn't let anything keep him back. Hey, this was a religious city, Jericho. We know the story of Joshua coming against the city and all that. Religious city. The religious city, though, didn't help the blind man come. They actually, if you read it close here, they tried to hinder him. They told him to shut up. Do you know what religion will do to you today? It'll keep you from Jesus. You'll hang your hat on some old religious ceremony and keep you from really seeing the Lord. You better cut through all that trapping. You better cut through all that ceremony. You better cut through all that man-made dogma out there and come directly and come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Know for sure you've met him. Don't get at heaven's door and try to pull up your church membership. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a very real, don't let him pass you by. Don't let him pass you by. He wants to stop. He wants to stand still. He wants you to come to him if you'll cry out like this blind man did. You know, I believe with all my heart that the time that Jesus is passing by is not going to keep lasting. You know, I believe in his second coming and soon, and I know when he comes for those that have rejected him, it's going to be too late. And Brother Smith asked me this morning, you're going to preach on prophecy tonight? I hardly ever preach much without some of it, but I don't know. But I know this, everything I see and preach and talk about today is pointing to me that Jesus is coming soon. Soon. And you know what? Your time to cry out to him now. Don't let him pass you by. He don't want to pass you by. It'll be your fault if he passes you by. Amen. I remember one time I was pastoring the country church, and God was calling me away, and I knew I was leaving within just a few days. In fact, I think I'd already told the church there that I was leaving and was coming here. And I was in the country where there was not very many people, and I'd visited so many houses, and you had to hunt houses up in the woods, hope you found somebody when you found a little road going back through the brush. And I'd found a house trailer back there in the woods sometime earlier. And more than one time I'd gone to that place and nobody would ever be home. So one night, within a few days of my leaving, I was driving back down the paved road and I passed that little road that led back there, that trailer, led back there about a quarter mile or better. And I thought, you know, that's one family I've never visited. I've never met, never called them home. And I'd already passed the road, and of course, human logic said, you're about to leave. Your ministry here is over. But I stopped the car. I already passed the road, but I stopped the car. I backed it back up. It was late. It was probably 10 o'clock at night at least. And I went down that little road, and just as I got there, I saw the folks going in the door like they'd been grocery shopping and took some items in with them and turned on the light. So I stopped. And I come up, knocked on the door. They were still just putting things on the table. And they came to the door, and they didn't know who I was, or if they did, I don't think they'd ever met me. Told them I was a preacher at the Gant Lake Baptist Church, and that I wanted to meet them and to talk to them. So they invited me in. The man opened a beer, sat out at the table, began to drink the beer, and I sat across the table from him, he and his wife. And I got very directly to it. I said, look, I'm probably going to be leaving in a little while, and I want to ask you about your soul. I've been pastoring this church up here 3 years, and I haven't had a chance to meet you, and I want to know about your soul. I want to know if you're saved. I believe the lady, best I remember, told me she was saved as a kid, but he said he wasn't. And I had the privilege to take my Bible and open it and show him how to be saved. And with an open beer sitting on the table, by the way, that's just the branches of the tree. you get saved, then the beer and the cigarettes and the alcohol and the dope, all that God will help you get rid of. But in the meantime, you need to get born again. You need to get saved. You need Jesus on the inside to give you a power to give up stuff you couldn't give up otherwise. And the Bible, sitting inside of a can of beer, I led that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heard him pray and ask Jesus, just like this blind man, to meet his need. And that's what he did. Now, I did leave. I might have had one more Sunday there. And I told him, you've been saved. You ought to follow the Lord in baptism. And I told him what was right. I can't remember if they said they'd be out of town or what, but he didn't come that last Sunday. I didn't see him anymore. But after I'd been here just a little while, matter of a couple of weeks, the preacher that followed me up there called me on the phone. He said, you remember a Mr. Howard that you stopped and visited? I said, I sure do. He said, well, he come to church and I baptized him. I said, praise the Lord. But he said, that's not all the story. I said, what's the rest of it? He said, he's just found out that he's been diagnosed with terminal cancer and he's got less than 6 months to live. Now, you know what? I almost passed by that night. I did pass by. I backed up to go back down that road. I'm so glad that I did. I'm so glad that the Lord's Spirit led me to go say, tell him about Jesus. I know you're leaving. May never see him again. But give him a chance to call on Jesus. Make some noise about Jesus. Get his attention about Jesus. Give him a chance. And he took that chance and he called on the Lord. I want to ask you, you've been hearing the crowd about Jesus for a long time? The singing, the talking, the noise. Been hearing it for a long time. But have you, like the blind man, made it personal? Have you got a personal relation with Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? At heaven's gate, could you claim that? That's all it's going to get you in, folks. Don't lie to yourself. Just don't say, well, here comes the crowd that followed Jesus. Now I'm in that crowd. It's not going to make it. At the gate, it's going to be personal. It's going to be, what did you do? Not mama did, daddy did. What did you do with Jesus that is called the Christ? What did you personally do? Did you receive him? I pray you'd say yes. I pray you'd say, I can imagine that blind man crying out when he heard, this is the Lord, this is Jesus passing by, and him thinking, I'm not going to let him go by. And he hollered. And they said, shut up, basically. And he hollered again. Have you ever hollered out to Jesus? What's stopping you? Your friends on the job? What's stopping you? Peer pressure? Kids you run around with? Is that what's stopping you? Is the crowd trying to shut you up? Oh, I say to you today, cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the authority of his word, he'll stand. He'll meet you. And he'll save you.